Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Hey, thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ. It's Steve Todd. Today we're meeting with the Becks, which is Craig and Charlene, Jake and Maxine. And we're going to learn about basically three generations of singers, songwriters, and musicians. We're going to learn about their roots in Atlantic Canada and how they ended up in Northern Ontario and then eventually in Kitchener-Waterloo area. We're going to hear about Jake and Craig and their two-piece band, The Janglers, and also their individual songwriting. So let's check in with the Becks. All right, so we're sitting here with the Becks. We have Charlene, Craig, and their son, Jake, and I think Maxine, their daughter, is going to be joining us in a little bit. And they've agreed to do this on Skype. Thanks a lot, guys, for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, for having us.
All right. And so I think this interview's, we're actually talking about three different generations of the Becks. This is the, Craig wanted to make sure that he knew, that everybody knows it's the Kitchener Becks. There's quite a lot of Becks around. And you come from out east originally. So maybe, I don't know if you want to start with your parents and your eastern roots and gradually migrate to Ontario.
Yes, the Beck line would be my father, who was born and raised in a small town called New Bern, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And he basically was, farmer and lumberjack and all that kind of thing. But in their spare time, they always practiced and got songs together. And they actually had an acrobatic show way back at the beginning. Wow. It was actually called the Beck Family Acrobats, and they had a whole acrobatic show as well as music and everything that went along with it. And that's where I suppose the musical career started, would be my father and my Uncle Murray and my aunt. Let's see, what were their names?
Joan and Shirley.
Aunt Joan and Shirley all did acrobatic stuff and sang songs and stuff, and they had the Beck Family Acrobats. They put on shows at the Legion and the fairs and everything. They're all going around, and
I think you mentioned, weren't they balancing on chairs or doing some crazy?
Yes, he was actually quite a talented man. He could do all kinds of crazy things. He could juggle. He could juggle four separate items while walking a tightrope at the same time. And he could also do all kinds of weird balance a coffee table on his chin and balance stuff on his hands. And his main show that, or his main act that he built up to, was that he made up a swing set, but it was portable. That was really high. The bottom of the swing was about 8 feet off the ground. And he would climb his way up there and walk across the top of the swing set back and forth like a tightrope kind of thing, building up the show or whatever. Then he'd climb down and they'd throw him up a chair, and he'd put the chair legs, just the back legs, on the swing, and he'd sit down on it and swing while sitting on the chair. Then they'd throw him up a guitar and he'd put that on and start playing. Then they threw him up a harmonica for around his neck, and he would be up there and he would sing and play several songs while he was up there. So that was his main act. I don't know if there's anybody around anymore that ever saw it, but I never saw it myself.
I'm too scared to even climb up a little step ladder to clean out my eavesdrops. So
yeah, he was.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Now I know he wrote songs because I've seen you and your son Jake play some of his originals. Do you want to talk about any of the originals that he wrote back then?
Yes, he had a couple of albums out back. He was quite well-known on the East Coast, and he actually did make it even all the way to Waterloo here, doing live radio shows. So he would book live radio shows all over the East Coast and basically the Newfoundland, the East Coast, New Brunswick, Quebec and into Ontario as well.
Yep.
And while he was doing the live radio shows, he would announce somewhere where he would be playing or performing for the evening to put on a dance. And then he'd put on a dance there and people would go and dance to his show. And he had a couple albums that I know of that he would kind of just sell off the stage because that's how they did it back then.
Yeah.
They just recorded an album and whatever they could get for it off the stage, that's how they made their money.
Yep.
So anyway, there's a guy named Fred McKenna that he played with. He was an older, kind of a big blind guy who was really talented at singing harmonies and mandolin. And he was such a big guy, he played an upright bass, but he literally just hung it on him like it was a guitar and played it like that. So okay. it was yeah. quite the sight. But anyway, him and Fred had an album out. Oh, it was a really long title, but it was basically a bunch of songs by Fred and George. But I don't remember exactly what the title was, but there was six or seven or eight songs that my dad wrote on there. Let's see, I can count them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's eight songs on there that he had recorded that he wrote.
Yeah.
One of the ones that that Jake and I do together is, what is that one called again?
No More Tears on My Pillow.
Oh, yeah. No More Tears on My Pillow. That's right.
Yeah.
It's a real bluegrassy type song, and all of the stuff he wrote was bluegrassy.
All right. Well, here's a live recording of Craig and his son and daughter, Jake and Maxine, and they're singing No More Tears on My Pillow. It was written by Craig's dad, George Beck. And this was recorded at the Ridge Social Eatery in Roseville in December of last year.
From me, I thought I should have died. I was aching sore inside, and you told me goodbye. Cause even though you cheated me, it never could be true. I loved you so I couldn't guard, and now I'm glad we're through. And there's no more tears on my pillow. There's no more aching in my heart. Shaky world, the dreams are crushed. Now I can build a new. The love you gave made me your slave, and only left me blue. Well, a fool like me could waste his life loving one like you. I couldn't make my heart believe the things I knew were true. When you went stepping out on me, I cried on through each night. I thought I had to have you then, but now I see the light. And there's no more tears on my pillow. There's no more aching in my heart. My shaky world, the dreams are crushed. Now I can build anew. Love you gave me, your slave, and only let me do. Now there's no more tears on my pillow. There's no more aching in my heart. My shaky world's dreams are crushed. Now I can build anew. The love you gave me, be your slave, and only let me through. Said the love you gave me, be your slave, and only let me through. Let me through.
So, yeah, that was it.
Hi,
Hi, friends. Kevy Canuck here from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
We kind of missed the fact that he was doing regular television spots on the television show back then. He had a group together, and they had kind of made him an offer that they wanted him to do like a star, or I don't know, like host a variety show.
Okay.
And he had met my mom at the time, and was getting married and having kids coming along and everything. So he didn't think that being in the music industry was a good thing to do, and have kids at the same time, because he thought he'd have to be on the road a lot. So he actually gave up music for that and that television show.
Okay.
Which, you know, really, really, you know, amazed me when I first found out about it.
Oh, yeah. And he was working. So he was working a job and then doing the acrobatic thing.
Well, at the very beginning, when it was the Beck family acrobats, they all, like, it was like the whole farming situation where it was the family farm. Everybody worked on the farm to maintain the farm to make sure everything was okay.
Yep.
And in the winter, I think he said they would cut wood, like the old way back with an ox and a sled, you know, hauling out 4-foot logs for pulpwood back in the day. But so that was the work that they had at the time. But you got to remember, that's a long time ago. That was like, you know, almost wartime in that type of situation where I think basically nobody really had jobs in the traditional way that we have now, where we go to work for somebody and we get a wage and then we pay our bills with it.
Yeah.
Everybody had like their homestead that they looked after, and for the little bit of money that they needed for, say buying shoes to go to school or books or whatever it is that they needed for that, they would, you know, do whatever they needed to do to make the little bit of extra money stuff that they needed.
The whole barter system, like one guy was probably a pig farmer and the next guy makes bread and cheese.
My grandfather actually was a butcher, and he had the kind of like a general store there. So he sold a lot of his like sausage and meats or whatever it is that he had door to door and everything to make money as well.
Yeah. And you guys actually still have land there, right? Like you actually have inherited a small plot of land.
Actually,
about 40 acres.
I've got a 40 acre piece that's actually mine as well as my two siblings.
Webcam must not be on.
I'm looking after it, but it's still, you know, 1/3 each of theirs, as well as I still have cousins that live out there.
All right, why don't we hear a double shot of George Beck? He's the patriarch of the family. Here's two songs. The first one's called Millie's Mine, and the second one's called Used Car Blues. It was a number one hit. All right, enjoy.
The one I love, the one I care for most. She's the queen of all our towns, she's the county toast. And if you see my Millie dear and you think she's so fine, just remember what I say,
Millie's mine.
When Millie walks up through our town, arm in arm with me, I keep close watch all around in case that I might see a feller hanging round the street who might get out of line, 'cause he ain't heard the latest news,
Millie's mine.
I went out to my Millie's house one night to see her there. I found a feller hanging round that I couldn't bear. I found a poker hot enough to bowl the brain aside, a pony's hide for all to see,
Millie's mine.
Now Millie has long wavy hair and teeth just like the pearls. She's got everything it takes and more than other girls. When she gives me a grisly hug, it nearly breaks my spine. That's why I'm proud that I can say,
Millie's mine.
A beauty contest that was held right here in our town brought many, many pretty girls, girls from all around. But Millie stood there on the stand, a bundle of sunshine. I stood right up and told the crowd,
Millie's mine.
Now Millie is all that I've said, yes, and even more.
And the judges crowned her beauty queen, but the other girls were sold. The judges had to leave our town, them gals close behind. I stood up and yelled again,
Millie's mine.
Well, I just decided the other day I'd gone long enough for walking this way. Figured I'd take the awning to town and buy me a car to get around. Now, a brand new car I just couldn't buy, don't have money enough. That's the reason why. So I took what I had and I figured I could buy me a used one. Still pretty good. Now, in every town, as you well know, there are used car lots wherever you go. The salesmen, they're just waiting there to offer you bargains at a mighty fair. I stopped at one, and before I could say hello, the salesman said, right this way. He took me and showed me a little sedan, and he said, here's one you really could fan. Then he started to tell me about all that was in it, and there was a salesman who could really chin it. I opened my mouth to get in a word when he started the motor, and she really turned. Turned it off quick, said the muffler's room, but that's nothing, friend, we'll put on a new one. Started to frown to raise up the hood and said, don't worry now, I'm telling you she's good. Well, he winked at me then and I saw him smile. He said, this car's good for a whole lot of miles. She's built for style and power too, and I'm cutting the price down just for you. I looked at the tires, they were mighty thin. The body was nothing but a bundle of tin. Shoved my hand in my pocket to hang on to my money. Just to buy her now, friend, she's really a honey. Well, he figured right then that I had some cash, so he said, look at her, she's really got class. The radio there that can't be beat, and brand new covers on both the seats. A one-owner car, that's what she is, a friend of mine, she used to be his. He hated to leave her, but he needed to know, you better take her now, because she's sure to go. Then I opened the door and I stepped inside, and the salesman said, let's go for a ride. So he turned the key and he started to hack, and the smoke started rolling around the back. He gave her the clutch and she flew out of gear, and I guess my face was showing some fear. He said, don't worry, she's safe and sound as we left that log tearing up ground. Well, we just got going around the block when I heard the motor starting to knock. The salesman, he was a-turning her fast, said, we gotta go back, we're low on gas. Got her back safe and stopped inside, then he turned to me with a gleam in his eye that made me grab for my money again, but he reached in his pocket and took out his pen. Then he said, you're signing for a real good deal, the price of this car makes it really a steal. I said, how much? He said, what do you got? I gripped it real tight, said, $500. Started to figure on the paper he had as I waited for news that I knew would be bad. He looked up at me, I started to frown, he said, 90 a month, you're $500 down. Well, I sat paralyzed for a minute or more, then I came back to life, swung open the door. I knew if I stayed, I'd be outdone, so I took a deep breath and I started to run. Got away with my money and was glad to be free, cause that salesman was just too smart for me. You can beat him, I guess, if you're fast enough, but for me, they're just a little too tough.
Hi, I'm Craig Beck from Kitchener, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Nope, I can see Maxine's on now. Can you hear us?
Yes. Awesome. Can you hear me?
Yep. So we got the whole Beck family now. Oh, wow, you got a cute little dog.
He's Max. Cute to look at from afar.
His name is Max.
Max? Okay. Oh, you got okay.
Max and Max. Actually, she
adopted him. He already had the name.
That's awesome. We're supposed to be getting a cat for $1. I guess a place in Stratford, because we want an outdoor, almost like a feral cat.
Yeah.
A cat that just wants to kill mice.
Kill mice. Yeah.
And it would live in the garage if it wants to come in, and otherwise it's a hunter. So.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So that's
I still, I guess to get back to it, I still have cousins in that down east that still live there on the same area where my dad grew up.
Okay.
And my uncle actually still lives 30 feet away from the house that my father grew up in.
Wow. Well, okay.
And I visit there as often as I can.
Yeah.
But
yeah, definitely.
I wanted to go this year, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Well, you can still drive. It depends. Everything should open up at some point.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope so. So anyway, there, like I have a cousin, Jesse, who actually did release that No More Tears on My Pillow song on an album recently. And it did really well, apparently, in Europe. And he actually made a little bit of money off of it.
Okay.
He said he made enough money off it to get the road put into the back to the lake where his camp is.
Okay.
So that's
Beck Road.
It's called literally called Beck Road.
Oh wow, okay. So your roots run deep out east.
Yeah.
So at this point, so your father met your mom. He's changing, he's kind of moving away from music. And then what's the next piece of the story then?
So what happened was they gave him some money. $1,000 or something like that, a chunk of money. And because he was in with the television station down east, they were going to be starting to open a new television station on the West Coast. And they wanted him to be like a sales rep and have, because he had charisma and everybody knew him, in order to help get that television station going. So yeah. What happened is they gave him some money so he could travel, you know, to the West Coast to help out with that in sales, I guess. And he got to Northern Ontario and his car broke down.
Okay, yeah.
So he didn't have enough money to fix the car. So the long story short is the car broke down in Ontario and they ended up settling in Ontario because he heard that there was like just a regular Joe job type thing on the railroad that they were hiring. So he decided to work for the CN instead. And he just totally abandoned that. And he started working on CN and Bridges and Buildings Gang, B&B Gang, they called it back then. And it was pretty, you know, it's pretty hardy work. I don't know. Like working on the track back then wasn't easy. It was really rough. And then, he basically worked his way out of that type of job where he was, swinging a hammer, putting spikes in and that kind of stuff and building bridges and all that stuff that he was doing to working at car control instead. So it was an office job, which actually was financially a worse position for him because he made less money doing that as a clerk than he did out on the road making money.
Yeah.
But he already quit his music career so that he could be home with us as kids so that he could be a father and be home for us.
Yep.
So he didn't want to be gone for 14 days and back and then gone for another 14 days and back, which is the way the railroad cycle was. So that's what he did. He even had to upgrade to get his high school equivalency.
Okay.
Well, he was working on the track in his spare time. Uh-huh. And those guys worked like 16 hours a day while they were out there.
Yeah.
And in his spare time, he upgraded to that.
Good for him.
He put a lot of work in to do that.
Hey, at this point, why don't we listen to Craig Beck playing a Pearl Jam song called Off He Goes.
I wonder about his insides. It's like his thoughts are too big for his size. He's been taken too much on. There he goes with his perfect toady, unkept clothes. There he goes. I saw a strain creeping. The same was tracking. I know just what is gonna happen next. Before his first death, he's off again.
Hi, you're listening to 102.7 Radio Waterloo, CKMS. This is Steve Ashton saying enjoy the show and enjoy your day.
One of his dad's favorite guys, I remember him always playing a lot of...
Chet Atkins.
Chet Atkins. Oh, yeah. Chet Atkins. He loved Chet Atkins.
Yeah. I think you brought an old guitar of his, right? Like, didn't you have an old Gibson or Fender?
He inherited his guitar.
It's a 1954 Martin.
Wow, okay.
But it's not original, so.
Yeah, the bridge kind of had some work. It was pulled off, wrong one put on, but.
Yeah, that's all right. And then, in what town in Northern Ontario were you living in then?
So when they broke down, actually, it was close to Hearst, Ontario.
Hearst, okay.
But they actually were further north than that, and then they went to Hearst because. And Hearst, they got a seasonal job picking tomatoes.
Okay.
and they basically saved their money up so they could fix the car.
Yeah.
And then they went from there after my sister was born and came to Sudbury to work on the CN.
Okay. Well, you do what you got to do, I guess. Eh?
And the small town actually that we settled in was called Capriol, Ontario.
Okay.
Which is where I'm from.
Yeah, I still have family. Yeah.
It's kind of called Sudbury Junction now. If you're taking the train and going through there, they call it Sudbury Junction on the track.
Okay. Yeah, I still have family in Coniston and Coppercliff, like that.
Oh,
that
wow.
Area, it's all the same kind of area.
Yeah,
for sure.
They were all like, or Inco and like all the mines and stuff.
Yeah.
This goes back though, right? So
it actually always was called Sudbury Junction. Now that you bring that up, it actually was called Sudbury Junction originally. And they changed the name to Capriol because there was a guy named Capriol, actually Capriol, who was instrumental in
founding the town,
and getting the three different railroads that were there at the time to combine together and make the Canadian National Railroad.
Okay, that's neat.
So he was, I don't know, somehow involved in it or somehow pushed to get it all done so that all the three railroad systems, I don't know what they were at the time, but the line that came from the East Coast and the one that went from Ontario to the West Coast, and then there was a line, I guess, that kind of just went all over Ontario, right?
Yeah.
Southern Ontario to Northern Ontario. Those three main railroads kind of had different names and they were all put together to become the Canadian National Railroad. So he was a pinnacle guy to get that done. So they just named the town after him even though he never lived there. So that's why it's called Capriol. It's just named after him.
Okay.
But it still is, yes, Sudbury Junction is the actual, that's the name of the yard.
Okay.
That yard actually is right behind the house that I grew up in.
Really? Okay. That's neat.
Yeah. The whole house shakes when the train goes by.
Yeah.
Rode my bike down to Toronto. I rode it down to play a show. The whining engine is ripping through the air. You're almost there, but you don't want to go. Cherry whiskey and a cheesy grin. Time is short, boys, we better load her in. The stage is set, yeah, the lights are ready. Drink them up, yeah, we gotta go. Driving down the road with a heavy load. The stage is set, yeah, the lights are ready. We wonder how it's gonna go. We're doing all right, boys, they're coming on in. Here for room, yeah, before you know. That's round one, yeah, you guys have been great. We'll be right back after a short break. We love you so much and we'll be right back. We won't make you wait. Driving down the road.
Jacob Beck from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
And your dad must have taught you guitar, I'm assuming, right? Right from your...
I guess so.
I don't think he can remember that well because he was like four or five years old when he first started.
I was younger than that because...
Well, I know that Nana always says that she used to put the stickers on, little happy face stickers to mark where he put his cording.
Oh, really?
The fretboard.
Yeah, I remember that.
For his little short scale guitar
She put happy face stickers on underneath the strings where to make the chord, the C chord.
Okay, that's nice.
And then once I learned it, then she took the stickers off and moved them for the G chord.
Yep.
So I could learn the G chord and so on. But I'm.
It would have been your dad.
I'm pretty sure I was way younger than five, because there's a photo of me when I'm for sure 4 years old, and I'm actually playing and singing a song to my brother in his crib.
Oh wow! Okay.
He's one or less.
Yeah.
And there's 4 years difference between them.
And there's three and a half years difference between us. So I had to have been around 4 years old, and I could actually sing and play a couple of Johnny Cash songs at that time.
Okay.
Apparently, I used to put on shows for the neighbors that came over to play cards with my parents.
Oh, okay.
Where I guess Johnny Cash would have to have been a pretty big influence on me back
four.
Then, because I would come out with my guitar all hung around from the back of my. On my back, like Johnny Cash did, and I'd say, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." Pull this guitar out and sing a couple Johnny Cash songs for the neighbor.
Of course, that's a story his mom told all of us, right?
I don't remember doing it, but I'm sure it happened.
That's according to his mom, so.
That's great.
Walking down the path of memories, is what my mind's eye sees. What could it really be? So long ago, what it was I do not really know, and just where will it go? I guess it happens all the time. It's all a state of mind, because times change. Stay the same, and lives change. The change is on the way. Just when we thought we knew, but then we rarely do. Such a pace among the human race. Yes, it happens all the time. It's all a state of mind, because times change. Things really stay the same.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
So, yeah, so that's where you started. So I know you were in a bunch of different bands. Was this in high school or after?
Kind of just, there was other people in town that just played, and we just kind of got together and played, and then we'd play at the Norman Recreation Center. We'd put on a dance But it was kind of nothing that was really official. I don't even think we had a name. At least I don't remember one. Actually, Lee's
named you Porcelain.
Lee's probably had a name for it at the time. But,
what was it? Lee's named it Porcelain Altar. that's
a joke. Actually, that was years later after I had moved to Kitchener, and I was home for the holidays for a whole bunch 15 days in a row or something like that, and it was her parents' anniversary and her aunt's birthday, and there was, I don't know, three things were going on. They were going to have a big backyard bash party type thing. So we decided we were going to throw a band together. So Lise and I and her husband, Roger, and another good friend, Mike Hoshko, who played the drums, all kind of just threw a band together on the spot.
Yeah.
And we just did, I don't know, 30 songs or something like that.
That's a lot.
Just the stuff that we kind of already knew. We might have learned a couple or whatever. We just got together, had a few practices, and yes, we called that band Porcelain Altar. And the reason that she called it Porcelain Altar is because during one of the practices, we were up all night playing and practicing and playing and drinking quite heavily, and I couldn't even make chords anymore. Because my fingers just wouldn't work anymore. And I was all amazed that Lee's could still play guitar. And I was pretty hungover the next day, so that's why she called it Porcelain Altar.
Let it be, 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 let
And then there was another band that sticks out in my mind as a group that we put together was the two guys out of Sudbury, three guys out of Sudbury. Yeah, I was the only guy from Capriol in that one. And one was kind of close to Coppercliff area, and the other two were like right in what they call New Sudbury area. But we practiced at their place because they had a big house with a big basement, so that's where we jammed.
Okay.
And we called that we called it Zaxxas, which was a name that I came up with at the time, and I don't remember where I got it from. I think I had found it in a dictionary or something at some time, which was basically an old word for the name Axis. But anyway, so, and it was kind of a real more heavy metal type band where we played heavier rock stuff. Sean Menard was the singer in that band. That's right. And he sounded really good singing a bunch of the old Led Zeppelin stuff. We put our whole second set that we had actually was a giant Led Zeppelin medley where we started out with Whole Lot of Love.
Okay.
And went into several other different songs, all by Led Zeppelin. And then the drummer did Moby Dick.
Okay, that's cool.
And then he did his own drum solo in there. And then he came back out of that at the end. And then we back into Whole Lot of Love and finished it off.
That's right.
It was our whole second set. It took 40 minutes to do it.
Okay. And Charlene, so do you come from, are you from Sudbury area then?
We both grew up in Capriol. And 3 months before our family moved to London, Ontario, we met each other.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I played piano back then. I had this gigantic piano that it took six guys and one wall out to get into the basement. And
wow.
I took piano lessons and stuff. And so we kind of jammed a little bit, but not much. And then.
What was that Rocky song that you knew? Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I used to jam Eye of the Tiger with her because it was one of the songs that she knew.
Yeah. And my brother played drums at the time, so it was like the three of us sort of thing just fooling around in the basement. It was pretty embarrassing, really.
So you moved to London first, and then eventually did you follow to Kitchener?
Well, we kind of kept in touch, kept a long-distance relationship going for a couple years until I moved to Toronto, and then he came to Toronto.
Yeah.
And then we got married and moved to Kitchener.
Okay.
Both of us stayed in Kitchener.
Actually, at the very beginning, after she moved to London, I was still in Sudbury. And I bought this car off a buddy of mine who was like a used car dealer. And he got it at the auction. Though it looked really rusty on the outside, it was really mechanically sound car. So I literally drove that thing back and forth to London every weekend.
Oh, wow.
Months, going to visit her every weekend. When we first started going out, and then it was actually maybe I shouldn't say this. It was a Ford. It was not the
Escort.
Focus. It's the Escort. It was the Ford Escort, and it was the one that had the aluminum pistons in it that they first tried that would blow, and one of the pistons blew out on me on my like halfway up to London on the side of the road. And my car caught fire. It was very interesting.
Things you do.
Yeah, the travel between Sudbury and Southern Ontario, London, Kitchener, has always been very interesting.
I ain't got no crystal ball. Yeah, I had $1 million. But I spend it all if I could find that piano. That some church she's found. I'd pop a cap inside to it, I'd slap her down. But I really wanna know, my baby girl. But I really wanna say, I can't be fine. And it's love that I need. Whoa, whoa. My soul have to wait till I get back. Find a hand of my own. He's gonna love growing up. And I feel the break. And I gotta live it up. Oh yeah. Well, I swear that I really wanna know apart. But I really want to say I can't define. It's love, let it go. My soul had to. Baby, what I really want to say is I've got mine, and I'll make it. Yes, I'm going up, tell Sanchito that if he knows what is good for him, he'd best go running high. Daddy's got a new 45, and I won't think twice to seek that bill right down Sancho's throat. Believe me when I say that I've got something for his podcast. But I really wanna know, my baby, but I really wanna say is there's just one way back, and I'll make it. Yeah, I saw how to
Well, I know the story. You guys hit a bear one time.
Bear, yeah.
Yeah, we hit a bear.
That was recent.
I know it was the
long weekend in August. You guys went up for that.
It was a main bridge that if you're on Highway 69 and you're going to get to Sudbury, you have to cross this main bridge. It's just before French River that was closed because there had been an accident.
Yeah.
And there was miles of traffic. And then we just kept going, figuring, oh, it'll be cleared up by the time we get there. And then we got there, and there was miles of traffic. So we decided what we'll do is turn around and just go back to
Parry Sound
and then maybe find our way around the other way in the morning or something. So we turned around, and I guess because there was no traffic coming, I just kind of got up to speed in the car. And there was a family of bears that decided it was a good time to cross the road, and they're... The one walked out in front of me, and I couldn't stop in time.
It was just pitch black.
I remember at the last second, I just saw his face, the light brown color of his face, and I thought, oh, no. And you could see him like he was making up his mind whether he was going to do it or not. And I was thinking, no, and then he jumped out in front of me. So, and I couldn't stop. It was just like, it seems like forever when you think about it, but the whole thing probably happened in a second.
It was awesome.
I ended up running him over, and we were so scared because we didn't want to stop because it was kind of a cub where it was probably about 6 months old.
Oh, wow.
I figured if he was crossing, mom and probably a couple more cubs already crossed, and I didn't want to stop and see if he was okay and get attacked by a mama bear. So we just kept going for a couple of kilometers and then stopped, and I checked it out, and it was damaged pretty bad, but all of the lights still work.
Everything still works.
Part of the bumper cover was rubbing on the wheel, so I just kind of opened the hood and shoved the bumper cover underneath the hood and slammed it back shut again.
Just put everything.
We ended up driving all the way home.
Yeah.
We had to because every place that we stopped to try to get a room because it was, I don't know what was going on.
Well, it's because of the accident. There was,
yeah, I guess
people were turning around.
It was because the bridge was closed. All the hotels and everything were all full. So we ended up driving all the way back home and getting home at 3:30 in the morning or something. Jeez. But it was quite the excursion. I had gotten up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work, worked a full shift. Got home, loaded the car, jumped in there, drove all the way there, smashed up, got all the way back and back in by 3:30. So that was
not a good day.
That was a pretty rough day.
Oh, for sure.
and take fire. Ooh, I'm on like someone took a knife, every edgy and dull. I cut a 6-inch valley through the middle of my skull. At night I wake up, eggy sheets soaking wet, and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you, cool by desire.
Again, I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen.
So I'm just going to kind of backtrack. So you guys, you got married and you moved to Kitchener. Were you doing music, or at this point there's no?
Yes. At this time, I actually was with, I think we called it Razzcat.
Razzcat. Oh my God.
It's the same two guys that Razzcat. I was in a band with in Sudbury.
Yep.
Ended up moving to Hamilton because their brother was going to the university there. So the parents sold the house in Sudbury, moved to Hamilton so their brother could go there because they were all retired anyway and they just wanted to move, so they moved. And so they ended up in Hamilton. So I spent, you know, it was like about a 40-minute drive for me to go there to practice.
Yeah.
So we went back and forth, and we played a bunch of shows around the mountain in Hamilton area. We did one in London, I think it was. Where else did we do? I don't know. We didn't do a lot of shows. I think we did probably around half a dozen shows.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
I found it was too much to drive all the way there for 40 minutes to practice all the time. It was a long haul. Plus, I was working full time at the time. So.
And was this kind of like one of the Pearl Jam style bands?
Yep, that wasn't Pearl Jam. That was actually kind of just like a mixed 80s hair band type.
Oh, that's right.
With a little bit of Zeppelin thrown in. Okay. Nothing really, I mean, just something like that.
Yeah.
And then the whole Pearl Jam thing started when I was working for, I had gotten laid off of my machinist job because the market took a downturn in machining back then. And so I took a job working flat roofing in a flat roofing company. And one of the guys that was working with me was a drummer, and we got talking.
John Longpre.
And his name was John Longpre. And he called me up after I stopped working for them a couple of months later and asked, oh, yeah, I want to put together a Pearl Jam band. And they were just brand new. They only had the album 10 out, and it had just come out. And he goes, I think we should do, you know, what do you think? And I said, well, you know, I'm not a Pearl Jam fan, but yeah, okay, let's do something, because I hadn't been really doing anything other than playing around the campfire.
All right, we're pretty much out of time, but stay tuned for part two. There's a lot more music in part two with both Jake and Maxine. We're going to listen to some of their original songs. There's also some live music from The Ridge in Roseville with the Janglers. And also, Craig and Charlene have been spending time together practicing at home. They have several songs online that we're going to listen to as well. So till next time, it's Steve Todd, and my co-host is Paul Schultz. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ.